in which the Mushroom King rescues the imprisoned god. Written by And Then They Bow and read by Fenzon Marshes. Summary: Yarrow flower, symbolizing everlasting love. George weaves them through his hair, behind his ears. There are goldenrods planted in the backyard. Underneath the prison, the tansies awaken. Inside the prison, Dream feels the red chrysanthemums growing in his lungs. Chamomile tea has always been George's favourite. It's fitting, then, that he ran out after Dream was imprisoned, after he lost faith in his lover. It was fitting, then, that he found a new box in the back cupboard shortly after he returned from visiting Dream for the first time. Chamomile symbolises patience in adversity. George sips his tea and lets the flowers do their work. They are waking up under the prison. They are starting their long quest upward, vines twisting and pulling at the cold obsidian bricks. George has decided that he is going to help Dream escape because prison does not suit him. It does not suit Dream or George or either of their needs. They both need Dream free, so free he shall become. When George finds the chamomile tea, he finds the box of bay leaves he pushed aside the last time Carl visited. Bay for glory. Back then, they were one harsh wind from crumbling, dried up and dead. Now they are whispering to him, full of life. "We are ready," they say. "We are one." George sets the bay leaves to the side. There is no glory in war. At least, not yet. It's the tansies that are doing the work. It's the tansies that are underneath the prison, breaking down the walls, chipping away at the stone. Tansies symbolizing hostile thoughts, symbolizing a declaration of war. These are the flowers George sends to do his bidding. For he is George not found, the Mushroom King, the nature deity, and the plants of this world do what he asks when he asks it of them. He is the Mushroom King, the sleeping god, and when he awakens, there will be hell to pay. He and Dream are the only ones in this world who speak the language of flowers. He is the only one whom the flowers will speak back to. So when he calls to them, they listen. When he holds a hand above the harsh dirt outside of his home, the tansies rise, presenting him with several beautiful flowers. He strips a few buds off the rhododendron bush in the backyard. "Danger," it says, and mixes nicely with the yellow of the tansies. And he creates a bouquet. He brings it to Sam, the warden, whose mask hides his face. George understands not wanting to be seen. That's why he wears the goggles, after all. That's why Dream wears the smile. "Here," George says, adopting the part of the mourning widow that he's come to play so well. "Thank you for letting me bring flowers into the prison the other day." "Of course," Sam says, looking slightly surprised, and he accepts the gift graciously. He does not know that he has just accepted George's warning of the coming war. George goes to Sapnap next, bringing the flowers to his hands as he walks, valerians and wallflowers. He knows he will catch Sapnap at home with Carl, and the flowers can be for him as well. Wallflowers for faithfulness in adversity, valerians for readiness. If he asks them, they will aid him. Quackity is not there when George arrives. All the better. He has a different bouquet for Quackity. Sapnap and Carl seem surprised to see him out and about. George merely gives them the flowers and tells them to have a pleasant week. I'm sure it'll be interesting, he says, and he knows Sapnap catches on to the tone of his voice. He does not need to find Quackity. He merely sends his begonias to Las Nevadas, or wherever it is Quackity has himself holed up. The flowers will find him nonetheless. The begonias represent dark thoughts. Beware, they say. He sends a bit of sweet basil as well, and once they've whispered through the earth that they've grown, he kills them. Sweet basil represents good wishes. George wishes nothing but ill on Dream's torturer. He can hear Dream crying out through the earth whenever Quackity comes to visit. The vines and the roots that grow deep under the ground whisper to him, tell him that his lover is in pain, that he must do something to help. Now he is finally listening. Now he is finally ready. There are no flowers that can grow in the prison, but George sends one up through the cracks in the walls, protects it through the lava, a single red chrysanthemum meant for Dream. I love you. He knows Dream gets the message when the heliotropes, eternal devotion, grow slightly taller outside his door. He loves Dream. He is absolutely furious with Dream. He thinks Dream is the stupidest man in the world, the stupidest god in the universe, for going after those kids when George told him not to. He thinks Dream deserves every second in that prison. If not for what he did to Tommy and Tubbo, then for what he did to George. But enough is enough, the Mushroom King has decreed, and it is time for his imprisoned lover to come home. All right, the flowers say. Whatever you tell us, we are at your command. He sips his chamomile tea. He waits. He plants goldenrods in the backyard. He doesn't summon them up from the ground. He goes to the nearest florist and buys the seeds himself, plants and waters them, nurtures them to life with a careful hand. The goldenrods symbolize good fortune, encouragement, and he needs all of that that he can get. They bloom brighter as he plots and schemes. He raised them well. They will watch out for him. Give me your strength, he tells the oak tree in the backyard, and he has all the power of 1,000 suns. Give me your courage, he tells the bottle of time in the back cabinet, and he has all the bravery of 100 knights. Give me your message, he says, to the red roses that are growing along the sides of the house, and he is filled with an overwhelming sense of love, love, love. He is George Not Found, the Mushroom King, and he is going to get back to his lover. He creates himself a crown of yarrow, everlasting love, and he wears it proudly on his head. The tendrils curl around his ears and rest carefully on his temples, and he is surrounded by an ethereal glow as he makes his way to the prison. The warden is not there. George walks through the vault anyway. It does not take him long to make his way through, the vines following at his feet like loyal dogs, all of their flowers symbolizing love and courage and devotion and strength. They will not let him down. They will do what he needs them to do. Took you long enough, is the first thing Dream says when George enters the cell, an army of flowers at his back. George hands him a single red tulip. Passion, a declaration of love. Dream takes it with a smile. He looks horrible. He has never looked more beautiful. I had to make sure our friends were ready, George replies, and the tansies break through the ground. George flings his arm around Dream's neck and pulls him into a tight kiss. Dream's hands flying to his waist to pull him ever closer as the obsidian erupts around them. There's a shower of lava, and George is sure it would be beautiful, and the tansies twist around their limbs and pull them down, down, down. They emerge outside of the heliotropes in front of George's house. They are still pressed against each other, entwined, neither knowing where one body ends and the other begins. The Tansies disperse at George's command, leaving him and Dream standing there. Dream is beaming. "I didn't think I'd see this place again," he tells George. "When you gave me the marigolds and then left..." "The heliotropes bloomed," George shrugs. "I could never hate you. I'm pissed at you, by the way." And Dream laughs, bright and melodic, and George wonders how long it's been since he last heard that beautiful tune. He tugs Dream inside and down onto the couch, allowing himself to rest on top of his lover, ear pressed against the beating of his heart. The bay leaves cry out to him, "Yes, it is our time," and he ignores them for the moment. Glory comes later. Love comes now. "They'll come for me," Dream murmurs. "They'll take me away again." "Let them try," George whispers back. "That rhododendron bush is growing mighty strong." Dream presses his lips to George's again, and they both know that nothing will ever separate them. George is the Mushroom King, with all the powers of nature on his side, and Mother Earth is a difficult thing to defeat. There is a pot of sweet peas on the coffee table next to where the two lovers are resting together, basking in each other's warmth. Sweet peas, delicate pleasures. George lets them grow taller. He lets all of them grow taller. Outside, the red roses sing. The end. Thank you for listening.